Good morning. The reading from the gospel today comes from chapter 13 of Matthew, and I think it's important to kind of see where we are in the gospel as we journey through it. It's believed in chapter 13, Jesus could have been teaching for probably a year, possibly two, but up until this chapter, Jesus has been very clear about his teachings. He's been very clear about the teachings that the Father sent him to give, about his wants and desires of the people that he is in this covenant with. He's talked directly about love, directly about divorce, adultery, retaliation. He's given us the Beatitudes. He's talked about love, the Golden Rule. So he's talked about all these things very directly, many of which his listeners didn't particularly like. And we can see in the gospel before this, I mean, Jesus is literally drawing a line in the sand of the followers and those who do not accept his teaching. So he's been very direct. In chapter 7, which is still prior to this, because we're in chapter 13, Jesus says, "Do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." So in other words, do not give holy things, things that are holy, to dogs and pigs. But who are they? The dogs and pigs are those that are not interested in the truth that is being revealed by Jesus, those who are unrepentant. And the pearls that he's talking about are his direct teachings, freely given, where there's really no work that one has to do to understand their meaning. Sometimes it's important to back away from speaking directly to people who are unaccepting of the Word of God. And Jesus is realizing this. And it won't be until later that the unrepentant person realizes what it is that they're missing, until they realize the worth of the pearl. So we can see in today's gospel that Jesus is doing just that. He's backing off from speaking directly to his people, from telling them what it is that God desires, what it is, the truth that he came to proclaim. And in this point in the gospel, he's now speaking in parables, right? He's requiring one to seek him out a little more, put some effort into understanding what it is that he's trying to convey. He's wanting them to discover the truth that he's trying to reveal. So in today's gospel, we hear about a treasure buried in a field and a pearl of great price. And I think these parables, they're pretty simple and easily understood. But let's take a look at them a little closer. Back in the time of Christ, when someone would bury a treasure in the field, the common saying, finders, keepers, losers, weepers, didn't quite apply. There were no banks or places to securely keep things that were of precious goods. So people would commonly bury their treasures in their fields, that was their safekeeping place. Even if someone stumbled upon the treasure in the field, it wasn't theirs. It belonged to the landowner, and that was kind of something that was understood by the community at large. And this is why the person who found the treasure buried it again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has to obtain that field, to buy the field. For the buyer, the treasure is worth everything that he had. And then in the second parable, Jesus speaks of someone who already has precious pearls, someone who is probably pretty rich, for we hear that he was a merchant. And we can see that he was constantly looking for more and more fine pearls, and he found it. So what did he do? Like the first person in the first parable, he went and sold his entire collection, all of his possessions, and bought this one precious pearl. So then, what are the spiritual lessons that Christ is trying to teach us today? What does he want us to learn from the gospel? I think many explanations could be extracted, but I want to talk about three. The first thing I think that Jesus Christ is teaching us today is that we have to have a hunger, a real hunger for the treasure. And the treasure is heaven. And this all starts with a desire, a deep desire. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, whose opinion matters because he's a saint, and the church teaches us that he is in heaven, says that the goal in our life is to live with God forever. And I think we know that. That's what we are created. That's what we are destined for. Our life here isn't purposeless. But after his conversion, this was the greatest desire of his life. Everything that he did, all that he said, became a reflection of this desire. He has saint in front of his name today, still in 2014, because this is what he most desired, to live with God forever. And I think a question we can ask ourselves is, do we? Is that our greatest desire, to live with God forever? Do we live as if heaven is our ultimate goal? The first reading teaches us not to focus on the things of the world that are fleeting, right? Earthly goods, money, status, pleasure. They shouldn't be our main focus in life. Yes, they are goods in themselves, but they shouldn't be our main focus. And if you noticed, Solomon in the first reading asked for understanding, not for himself, but so that he could help his people, so that he could help judge and discern from right and wrong. He was focused on the other, of giving himself away. Is this our desire? I think the second thing that Jesus is wanting to teach us today is that we must recognize where it is the treasure in that field can be found. And this is important, right? I mean, you wouldn't go to a Sony store looking to buy a new MacBook Pro. You wouldn't go to Taco Bell to buy a hamburger, right? You wouldn't go to McDonald's to buy a hamburger either. I mean, there are places to buy Macs, there are places to buy hamburgers, Amazon does sell everything, but you still wouldn't go there. So we must look where things can be found, and so too with the treasure of heaven, right? We don't find God by sitting idle, do we? I mean, if you're not looking for him, if you're not seeking him out in your lives, you're not going to find him. It's that simple. So we must go out where he is. Okay, so then where is God found? Well, we know that he's found in prayer, right? And we have to pray. A couple of weeks ago, we wrote in the bulletin, quoted Peter Kreeft, that said, prayer is food for the body. Or no, prayer is as important as food is for the body. So we must pray. We must pray, excuse me. We know that he's found in sacred scriptures. He's found in the seven sacraments, where we perform outward signs and experience inward grace. We're here today to receive a sacrament. Many of you are married. You're living sacraments for the visible world. He's found in our Christian moral life, in our daily living, where we draw strength from him to make those right decisions, to act with charity, to treat our spouse with dignity and respect, to treat our coworkers. He's found in serving the poor. He's found in many of the different organizations that we have here at Blessed Sacrament. They all should point towards him. These are the different places where he can be found. He's fully found in the Catholic Church, in our church here today, where in just a few moments from now, we will receive the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. So one, we have to have a desire for heaven, and I think we all have that. We're here, we're working on it, you know, we fall, so we get up again. Two, we must recognize where God can be found. And thirdly, like the two men in the parable, we must be willing to sacrifice all, right? They gave everything that they had. Out of joy, the man goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. And all's an interesting word. I don't know about you, but this three-letter word is kind of scary. It's true that some things cost too much. But on the other hand, some things are worth whatever the price is, right? Some things are worth it. And this is the message of the gospel today. This is the message of the gospel. This is what Jesus is trying to relay to us, that it is worth it. It is worth it, my people. So today we need to ask ourselves, is there anything we wouldn't do to attain the kingdom of heaven? Is there anything you or me would choose over putting God first in our lives? Because he's asking for our all. Is there anything we would choose putting God before our lives rather than what we were created for, than to live with God forever in heaven? And this isn't just a hypothetical question. It's very practical. And it's what Jesus is asking us today. So if God is second in any of the aspects of our life, we can repent. We know where to find him, right? We have that desire, so we can recognize, okay, I'm convicted. I maybe struggle with this. Definitely, all of us do. We can repent. We know where to find him, right? Confession. So we can turn back to him. It's still possible to give him our all. because we know where to find him. And St. Paul assures us in the second reading, all things work for good for those who love God. And like I said, we do love God. We do desire heaven, and we know where to find him, and God actually will assist us and help us in giving us our all. So today, let us pray to God that he may remove our fear, which I think keeps us from willingly giving all of ourselves to him, which is so often a hindrance in following Christ. A prayer that was given to us in one of my tech retreats when I was back in high school was, Father, you are willing, if only I. Father, you are willing, if only I. Please help us and give us your grace. Amen.